chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus is Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, you know God loves you very much. But nothing on this earth happens without his knowledge and without him permitting it. Now, there was an old fella called Job in the Old Testament that proves that God is in the midst of all. And the interesting thing about that particular thing, that man was a man that was committed to God. The Bible shows that he was so concerned about his children that he would pray and ask God that they wouldn't even sin in their heart against him. He was a concerned person for his faith. And today, God is looking for people that are concerned about his kingdom. Not their own kingdom, but his kingdom. And so, this story is about the Samaritan woman. And we're going to see how concerned Jesus was for one soul. But in addition to being concerned for that one soul, you never know the repercussions of what will happen to those people that you bring into the kingdom. You could be bringing in the next Hudson Taylor and not even know it. You can bring people into the kingdom that could shake the nation for Christ. You see, God is calling out today for the voice of evangelism to go forth within the body of Christ. We have so many Christians today that they're interested in self, S-E-L-F, self. God is saying, look, I'll take care of you if you take care of my kingdom. And so we as Christians need to get about the Father's business. And that really is the truth. You know, it seems to me over my Christian life, every now and then, someone will get sparked for Jesus, and that someone will go forth evangelistically and like a sword of fire. Well, about 99% of the people never do anything for Jesus. You see, we are living in a country that is in going daily and dipping daily in deeper and deeper darkness. People must see the light. And Jesus is the light, but Jesus is in you. And that makes you the light too, you see? So in verse 4, the Bible says, and he must needs to go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city, Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jacob therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. It was the sixth hour. All of the other people had come to the well. They had gathered their water for that day. They were preparing for their activities, for their dinners that evening. The mothers were preparing the dinner. But here comes a woman in the next verse. A woman comes after everybody's left. And she came at this odd hour. Now, why did she come at this odd hour to draw her water? She came because she was not an upright person. she was the type of person that we generally don't like to talk to. She was a person that, because of her outward appearance, her whorishness, we would totally reject that person, and we would not give her space in the kingdom of God. We would judge her lifestyle. By the time we got through analyzing her outward appearance, there is no way that we could open up and witness to her about the glory of God. And you see, we've got to begin to see people as souls. We've got to see people that Jesus died for every single soul. No matter what we see them do in the flesh, no matter what we think of them and about the things that they do in the flesh, we've got to see them as souls that he bled for on the cross. And there's not really an impossible case for Jesus if we'll do our part. Amen. The problem is that we only want to do what we want to do. God is calling us to new dimensions of spirituality. He is saying, let your flesh drop off of you. He is saying, look upon my people and love them. And look upon the people in the world and love them. And it's hard sometimes to love what is known as the unlovely. But Jesus found that this woman was so important that he told his disciples, you go on and you buy the food, you buy the supplies, I must go to Samaria. He said, I must go. It was an urgency in his spirit to be at this particular place at that particular time. And then the Bible shows the woman in verse 7 coming to the well. And Jesus spoke to her and said, give me to drink. Now you have to understand the culture in which Jesus was living in. And you know that women were like second-class citizens. No rabbi could speak to the woman. Even up to this day, those Orthodox rabbis in Jerusalem are not allowed to speak to a woman in a public place. So it seemed as though Jesus was breaking some sort of a law there because he spoke to that woman. But we know from accounts that the Jews had gone into captivity hundreds of years before. And while they were under the Babylonian rule, we know that they didn't have the Word of God with them. And so the ministers would, from their memories, preach to the people. But then, too, they began to mix God's Word with the word of the Babylonians. And so many of the things that you hear concerning women being second-class citizens come from that Babylonian law. God never, ever was against women. And he was certainly against the discrimination of women. And these scriptures right here prove it. Because Jesus broke what we know now as the oral law. The oral law are the collections of sayings that were written down by the rabbis after the Babylonian capture. And so it's a mixture. And, you know, they would have things like, thank God I wasn't born a woman, for instance. And yet, when you look at the word before the Babylonian captivity, you see that there were prophetesses in the Old Testament. Prophet, that word prophet or prophesy means to preach. There were women preachers in the Old Testament. Miriam was one. Miriam preached with songs. And then Huldah was another. She was a teacher in the college. Her husband, talking about a role change, her husband took care of the garments of the king. And she was a professor. And so God didn't see women and men the way the people, when Jesus came on the earth, were looking at them, looking down at them, separating them, thinking that they're more than they are, that they're nothing but just baby carriers and baby tenders. You see, women are a very, very important part of the kingdom of God. And I have always said that half of the body of Christ has been crippled by wrong teaching. Amen. Half of the women would never open their mouths and say that Jesus is Lord in public because of some of the wrongful teaching that they have received. And so, but this was not a believer that Jesus had to go and be there when she arrived. This was a woman called a Samaritan. Now, if you know the history of Samaria, you would know that it was a city that had a mixture of faith, a mixture of religion. It was the new age of Jesus' day. It was an age where they knew about God, but they had their own ways. Now, you know, friends, we live in a church today just like that. And when I talk about the church, I'm talking about overall many churches, not this one. Amen? But we live in a time where there's such a mixture of the Word of God with the things of the world. Sometimes it's very hard for people to understand really and truthfully who Jesus is and what he stood for and why he came. And these scriptures show the reason that Jesus came. He came to break down those barriers, the barriers that would keep people out of his kingdom. He said in his word that he came to save that which is lost. And of course, as his life went on, he made it be known that he came to preach to his brethren. He came to preach to the Jew first. And the Bible says that the gospel is to the Jew first, then to the Gentiles. And so he came to preach to the Jew first. But he also said, but they wouldn't receive me. So when they rejected Christ before he went on the cross, then he sent his disciples into Jerusalem. And the Bible says in the book of Acts that they knocked on every door, and told them, Messiah has come. But he was rejected again. And this time, a great persecution arose in Jerusalem. And the Bible says that they were dispersed. And so it was when they were dispersed, and it was after God slayed Paul over on the highway and revealed himself to Paul supernaturally, and then he sent Paul to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And of course, all you have to do is read the book of Romans, which explains the Old Testament enfolded into the New Testament, and it explains the gospel. It explains who Jesus is, why he came, and where he is, and what we're supposed to be doing. And so Paul knew the word of God from the Old Testament. And he had a supernatural meeting with the Lord. And so beyond a shadow of a doubt, he knew Jesus had come. had lived, had died on the cross, had resurrected from the grave, had gone into heaven, sat at the right hand of God the Father, and that he was making intercession, and that he was still alive because he had experienced him. Paul knew the gospel both from the Word of God and experientially. And so the Bible shows that there was a purpose for Jesus to come to this well. And you're going to see that purpose. He said, "Give me a drink." And in verse 8 it says, "For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman, the Samaritan, unto him, How is it, thou being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Well, you see, God created everybody. I know, living in the South, coming up in the South, and I lived in the time when there was strong segregation in the South. I lived in a time as a child when you would go down to Hemming Park downtown to May Cohen's, was a store there on the square, and they had no bathroom in May Cohen's for the blacks. And if a black had to go to the bathroom, they sent them across the street to the bathrooms across there, where they had white bathrooms, bathrooms for women, bathrooms for men, and black bathrooms. And so they had spigots there. And you would drink, it had over it, white for the white, black for the black. And we knew that to be segregation back in those days. And it was a horrible thing that was happening. But it was happening until Martin Luther King came along. And Martin was a great Christian. And he stood up and he said, "Enough is enough." He said, "If I do something about this, it'll stop." And he put his life on the line to create a movement, a nonviolent movement in our country, so that many of you have enjoyed things that your fathers and your mothers never knew before. And it sort of hurts you in a way to know that many of the younger black people have no inkling of the prices that were paid for them to do the things that they enjoy today too. But one person made a difference in our country because he was willing to die for his faith and his belief and his race. And he was willing to place his life on the line for the cause of freedom. And you see, this woman lived in a segregated community where the Jews would have nothing to do with the Samaritans. They had nothing to do with women, and they had nothing to do with the Samaritans. You know, in the South, preachers over the centuries would preach that it was wrong, for instance, for people that were black, for them to be able to marry a white person or vice versa, that it was opposed to the Bible. But they never told you that Moses was married to a black person. And they never told you that when Miriam and Aaron rose up and mocked him for being married to a black person, leprosy came upon them. And the only way that they were healed was that they had to repent publicly for doing that. And then Moses, the one that was so offended, had to stand up and forgive them before they could be healed. So God takes these prejudices and these divisions and these things that make us think that we're better than someone else very seriously. Just like the poor man and the rich man, you know, going in and the poor man put in the pot. God looked upon that and he said that was important to him. Yeah, I'm sorry, it was a woman. He said that was important to him because she gave out of her need, you see. And so we get these hardy spirits and we begin to walk around and think that we're more than what we are. But you see, God's got each and every one of us located. And the one thing that he hates is exclusiveness. I heard of a church and they called an intercessory prayer meeting and the pastor's wife was going to run it. And you had to have an invitation if you belonged to that church to come to that prayer meeting. And I said, my God, how can you bless something like that? And he said, I can't. You see, from the least to the greatest, he bled. And his blood is the great equalizer to all of us. And so it's only when you can understand these things that you can be an effective witnesser for Jesus. But we see here in verse 10, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living waters. And so Jesus just overlooked all of that mess that was going on in her life. And he overlooked the separations of him being a Jew and him being a rabbi and her being a woman. And he got right to the meat of the matter. And the meat of the matter was that Jesus wanted to give her a gift. And this gift is available for every living, breathing human being on the face of the earth. And it's a gift that, praise God, is free because of the fact that he paid a price for us to have that gift. And we need to reverence it and see how precious it is for our own life, but not just to walk around like a bunch of selfish little baby Christians thinking, I'm the king's kid, I'm better than you. You see, Jesus gave us that gift so that we could distribute it to others. And I truly believe that. And so he was unknown to this woman, but he wanted her to know him because he was her doorway into the kingdom of God. And so the woman in verse 11 saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From which then hast thou that living water? See, there's truly another water besides water. Jesus is the living water. And it's a well that will never go dry. As long as you are hungry to drink out of that well, he's there distributing that living water into your vessel. Thank you, Jesus. And then she goes on, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Now, you see, this is where you see the mixture of the faith. They were following after the precepts that Jacob had told them, but Samaria was also known as following after the Babylonian side of the faith also, which we would call it the occult or witchcraft in our day. And so a mixture of faith has to be challenged in this day and time. And we need to get about the Father's business and begin to follow the faith and challenge people to know who Jesus is. And Jesus answered and said, "Whatsoever drinketh of this well," or whosoever, "shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." Now notice he's talking to a woman, and yet he's referring to him. It may surprise you to know over in the book of Genesis, it talks that way too. It refers to Adam and Eve as Adam. And so when God created people, he created a half of a person and another half of the person, and when they come together, they're a whole person, right? So you need to understand that God is looking here to give this woman the water of life. And see, you still have that same living water flowing out of you. And how God wants to give the people that you know the water of life. So a great conversation ensued among Jesus and her. And she said, "Give me this water." You see, God will not come into a heart unless the heart opens for him to enter. I wished we could force people to receive Jesus. I'd know all my family would know him. How about yours? But you can't. So then he told her to go tell her husband to come. And she mentioned to him, she says, "I don't have any husband." He says, "You do well. And the man that you're living with is not your husband." So the woman received the living water, and she received what we call a transformation in her heart. A new spirit arrived in her heart. And the Bible shows her rushing back to the village alive, with living water in her, a changed personality. And when she began to tell the people in that community, which probably never listened to anything that she had ever had to say before, her testimony and the fact that God was in her and the fact that God was working with her and those people that she was talking to, he drew them to listen to her. The Bible says that they believed on him when she said, "I have found the Messiah." So then the Bible says that they came running to find the Messiah too. And the Bible says when they met Jesus, then they believed on him because of the word of her testimony, of his testimony, no longer her testimony. And so you can see that God is looking for people in this hour of time that will share their faith with the Samaritans that are all around and about in our cities today. He wants to have a revival, but he needs the cooperation of his people in order to have a revival. He needs you to open your mouth and speak the word. Open your mouth and speak to the hearts of the people. Open your mouth and speak to their needs. Open your mouth and show them the answers to their needs. Open your mouth and lead them to Jesus. Jesus is looking for evangelists all over this nation today. And he's calling you into this level of evangelism that you will let all of your prejudices fall, that you will see a man or a woman as a soul that Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross for, And that their soul, even if they're right out of, from up underneath the bridge, is just as important to him as you are. And it's when you can see people in that light and you can let your prejudices fall, let what your mind is saying about those people fall, and say, God, save them. Do whatever you can, save them. Do whatever you can. Let me say whatever I can. Don't let them slip into hell. Don't let somebody I know slip into hell without me doing my part to tell them that Jesus Christ came for them too, and that he came to save their soul, and that all they have to do is to repent from their sins, open their hearts, and let him come in. Jesus, we pray for the people that are listening to this radio program today. And we ask as they listen to the radio that you will open their hearts to the understanding of this message and that you will give them a call into the kingdom. Yes, even those that are sitting in churches that have never yielded to your prompting of salvation. Father, we ask that you open up their hearts and let them know that you love them, that you died for them, that you want them to come into your kingdom and to accept your blood sacrifice, that it is available for everyone. And Jesus, we thank you today that you are drawing people, that the Holy Spirit is going across this city, and that he is tapping on hearts as we speak today. And that angels are going across, gathering people to know that you came and that you are Lord. Tell it and shout it from the housetops that Jesus Christ is Lord, because he wants to have a revival in our city. And he can have that revival when we begin to lift his name up and speak of him. We thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen.